Oh, yes. The Drive is live, and we are live here in Cyprus. Look at I see Tyler, if you're on YouTube and Twitch, Tyler is going with the classic Astros with the dome right there in the joint right there. You can see it. That's a classic one right there.
I got it. Doesn't get
logo doesn't get the run it deserves. That is one of my favorite. Tyler almost purchased. Is that the one with, I can't see, is that the one with the dome in the background behind the Astros?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I almost bought a lid with that logo on it about a month ago over at Academy Sports and Outdoors. That does not get the run that it deserves.
It's solid.
Got the dome, got the, what is that, little asteroids running around in the dome with the name Astros in it?
Yeah.
Says a lot with very little. I think it's a great logo.
That feels like he may be going to the game today. That feels like a decision that he may go see this finale against the Yankees in that battle.
The old rubber match?
Yeah, we'll see if he just may. You know, he's got that maroon money. He'll just go whenever he wants to.
You ain't never lied.
Well, you talk about maroon money. You made a little more of it last night with that Yordan Alvarez performance, didn't you?
I saw it too, boy.
He had about 8 bases last night, didn't he? Damn.
Man, I looked up quick. I said, damn, 2 for 2.
Them hands are looking just fine.
Struck that one in there. No, it was a big-time night for you all. Best bets as well for Clinton and Tyler. Y'all got a little cash on there as well. But come on out again. We're out here in Cyprus. I already see a friendly face for you, Clint. I mean, I would assume he's got that pig's hat on.
Yeah, you got that. You see that lid? You see that lid?
I assume we got a razor back in
there. You know that Arkansas.
Know where these people come from out here. Just show up.
Hey, don't worry where they come from, baby. Just have a good time.
But, again, if you make your way out of here, it's going to be a good time. You ain't going to walk away, potentially not walk away empty-handed. Bud Light specials here at Buffalo Wild Wings. You can get $4 talls. $4 talls, and to let you know, on NFL game days, you can get $10 50-ounce beer towers for you and your friends during the season on game days, and a lot to do here at Buffalo Wild Wings. 4 o'clock, you get a chance to win some Bud Light swag and a Danielle Hunter signed helmet at the 5 o'clock hour. All you got to do, if you're in the building, you want a chance to win, fill your name out, sign up, and put your name in our raffle box, and you will have a chance to win and walk away with some prizes. So a lot going on here as the season is here, and we will be out at Buffalo Wild Wings each and every Thursday.
Yes!
That's right, and you should join us. Again, we're in Cyprus off 290. Come hang out with us. And right off the bat, Clint, there is some news when we look at the practice report, especially the injury report. We're in that season now, Clinton Tyler, where the injury report is something you got to keep your eye on, and it's been reported today. Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios both, again, did not practice today, with hamstring issues. And Christian Kirk, between him and C.J. Gardner-Johnson, those were your two biggest additions in the offseason, and you had him there specifically to play that slot position, and another guy that you think is the next most natural slot guy that may be ready with NFL experience is Braxton Berrios, not to mention, I would think, also your kick and your punt returner. They are potentially, I would say, their ability to play is up in the air right now. As you know, Wednesday, Thursdays, those two big padded practices are days that most coaches want their players to be able to play if they're going to play in the game coming up that weekend. First, Clint, how concerned are you that they may not be available based off them not practicing again today?
Well, look, I'm concerned. I mean, it's week one, first of all, and it is the heavy practice day where you get a lot done. It's a longer practice day. It's a more physical practice day. It is, you know, situationally, you kind of spread your situational football out throughout the week, and I don't know what it is the Texans do on Wednesdays and Thursdays, but whatever it may be, that situational football, that just the mental reps is really, really important. And so, yeah, this is a big deal. It's a big deal to miss practice. It's a big deal to the fact that it's a hamstring, which we've talked about how finicky those things are with pro athletes, especially guys that do as much running as wide receivers do and are as twitchy as Christian Kirk. And Braxton Berrios actually are. This could be a problem. And if you've got to play on Sunday without those two guys, as you mentioned, I think if you look at the wide receiver position and across the board, if you look at the wide receiver position, I would say that the top two guys on this team that see the game through the quarterback lens more so than any other pass catcher, it's Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios. I'd probably throw Dalton Schultz in that mix, being a tight end and having so much experience in there.
Yeah.
But those two guys are critical, man, to the quarterback being able to protect himself, to the offensive line, you know, be given a little bit of grace when the protection doesn't hold up perfect. Those guys are the quick answers. So, yeah, missing practice on a Thursday is big, a concern. And then, you know, if you got to play without one of those guys, it's a hit. If you got to play without both of them, I think it's a problem.
Cornbread texting in, hey, we're good. We got Noel anyway. Get healthy and rest up, Christian Kirk.
Ooh, that's a confident approach.
And we were talking about this before the show, fellas. And again, just to let you know, a little programming note, Tyler, I think if I'm wrong, let me know. I think around 2:30,
we may hear
from Ariante Ursary, the rookie left tackle, the guy who I think you could argue has been the surprise of camp, or at least the talk of camp, how he has taken the job from a guy who they planned and they brought in to pay $12 million. He went in and took that job. So we'll speak with him coming up here, hopefully around 2:30-ish. But we were talking before the show, and you talked about it. Said that's a lot on the plate, on the road, against a playoff level team, a team that has, you know, I would say they probably think NFC championship game aspirations, the LA Rams at home on the road, his first game potentially being the slot guy. Because I'm trying to think what you would have to put Hutch in there. I don't know what are the other options. Justin Watson.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it weren't Hutch. I think Hutch probably being a veteran, being a little bit longer in the tooth, having obvious chemistry with CJ Stroud. So I would think probably Hutch. But to your point, I think Jalen Noel is a guy that future, you know, if you're looking at the future play here, is a guy that's going to play inside the formation for the Texans and has that skill set to be that player. It's just the inexperienced rookie aspect of it with Jalen Noel he's been a guy to me in training camp that has proved to be mature beyond his years. I think from the rookie class, him and Ariante Ursary are two guys that are clearly mature beyond their years. And you know, I've liked what I've seen from those guys. I think you throw Jalen Noel out there because you take Christian Kirk and you take Braxton Berrios out of the mix.
He's the slot and the returner.
Yeah, it's not just about the slot. It's not just about the returner. It's both of them together. And then on top of that, as we've talked multiple times, the biggest issue with the Texans is fixing the protection problems, right? Part of that is C.J. Stroud getting the ball out of his hands. And I believe that a big part of that is going to be Christian Kirk and even Braxton Berrios. So now if those two can't play, which, look, we may be getting ahead of ourselves a little bit just flushing this thing out. But the reality is if those two don't play, then Jalen Noel, it isn't about just being able to play those positions in a punt return facet or a slot receiver. But it's also, hey, man, you're an important part of fixing the Texans' biggest problem from last year. So that may be a little bit of a heavy load for a rookie. Hopefully we don't find out this week. Hopefully those guys can play and everything will be fine.
But again, as you've been in the NFL, I've covered it. You miss Wednesday and Thursday practice on the Sunday game. I would say in my time covering the NFL, two different teams, more times than not that player didn't play. Not to say it didn't happen, because multiple times last year, I remember Dalton Schultz missed a Wednesday and Thursday and played. I think Joe Mixon did it. So I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I would say more times than not, if they don't hit that week, they usually err on the side of caution. So hopefully not, though.
Yeah, I think in this instance, it's more about the hamstring issue. Like if you can't practice on the most important practice day because the hamstring's too tender or you're scared you're going to pull it, how much recovery time do we really have between Thursday practice and a Sunday 3:25 kick? And so whether he's on the field to begin or not is one thing, but being able to last a game if you can't practice on Thursday, lasting a game on Sunday, maybe a long shot. So we'll see. I mean, again, hopefully this is all for none, and they're going to be fine, particularly Christian Kirk. But really, either would be a little bit of a hit. So hopefully they'll both be back, and you know, it's all for none.
All right, I'm looking up on the screen here, and the Astros, huge W last night. It was looking more like the previous game, where it seems like they weren't scoring many runs, and then they finally start rolling, where they ultimately scored 8 runs to win 8-7. A little shaky there in the ninth inning. We'll get to that. But I think clearly yesterday, the impact of the guy that they have not had, the guy who missed 100-plus games this year, the impact of not having Yordan Alvarez, we saw it and how important it was yesterday. We all knew how important he was, and really shows even more, Clint, how wild it is that they've been able to maintain being in first place. It says a lot about the staff and the team. But, Clint, yesterday they just flat don't win that game without Yordan Alvarez. We talked about it. Tyler made money. He goes 4-for-5. He comes up with huge hits and extra bases. Gets a double yesterday and drives in a huge run. And he was fantastic as usual. And he has been really, really good since he's been off the IL. 435, 563, 609 is his slash numbers, Clint. But we saw the importance of their best player and how different the Astros look when he's there.
Yeah, I think two things. Obviously, we talk about the production. I mean, that speaks for itself clearly. Just look at the box score. But, I mean, as you watched that game last night, you saw the Yankees across the board get real tight every time, damn near every time, yes, Yordan Alvarez stepped to the plate. When the Astros tightened that ball game up, and I believe it was a 4-3 ball game, and Alvarez is up and ended up singling in Melton to tie it up. Just, we sat there and watched the manager.
I don't think Chaz would have made it.
Would have made what? Made it home?
I don't think Chaz would have made it home, Tyler. That's why Melton's on this roster.
Yes,
him rounding.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. The speed, right? But yeah, I mean, you just saw, you know, it's when you got Yordan Alvarez in the middle of this lineup, and things get a little bit shaky, the opposing manager, the opposing pitcher, obviously, and whoever's in the bullpen that doesn't want to take the bump with Yordan Alvarez at the plate. Like, they all feel it. It's all very real. You saw it unfold last night, and you know, on multiple occasions, to be honest with you, with Yordan at the and ultimately you saw the wheels come off in the eighth inning, and the Astros went up 8-4. I think it was a 4-run inning. Walking runs in.
I mean,
balk. Yeah, I mean, the wheels just ended up coming off. And I'm not saying Yordan Alvarez is the reason that happened across the board, but I think if you watch that game, you saw some cats tighten up every single time the big fella stepped in the box. And that just changes.
And when you have Pena getting on base 3 times in front of him.
Yeah.
And there's runners on base. And we saw, like, I mean, again, they scored 8 runs. And if you look at the box score, you're like, damn, Altuve didn't even really get to take advantage of Alvarez and Pena directly in front of him getting on base 7 times. In front of him, he got one RBI with that sac fly, but he went 0-for-4. And you look at that, I would take my chances on Altuve having that many opportunities with guys on base.
Yeah,
over that he won't go 0-for-4 like that in important
right.
games.
Well, you're talking about another layer of the Yordan Alvarez thing.
Yep.
It takes the pressure completely off of your other superstar who is you know. I guess there's multiple now, but definitely Jose Altuve is. He doesn't have to carry all the weight. You got another guy that can move runners and can produce. Yeah, so I mean, there's layers to this thing. When that guy's in the lineup, it's a different animal, right? When that guy's in the lineup, and then you got to deal with clutch Correa, right?
Altuve and Correa coming behind those two with that many guys on base. I will continue to take my chances.
0-for-3, teams down. Correa doubles in the gap to start this thing off, and the next thing you know, they bust it wide open, and so. I don't know, man. If Correa can be clutch, if Pena's year that he's having is real and he keeps rolling, Altuve's going to do his thing. I think Christian Walker and the others are going to contribute from time to time. With Yordan in the middle of this thing, the need for those other guys to consistently just have career years is a thing of the past.
Yeah. All right, as we continue live here, our first Thirsty Thursday here. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 here in Cypress. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Bring your cell phone out here, $4 Bud Lights here, and they've got all the food and all the wings and everything you need right here at Buffalo Wild Wings. So come on out and hang out with the drive. And you got a chance to win some things. If you haven't done so yet, sign your name, put it in our raffle box. You got a chance to win an autographed football from the Pro Bowler, Danielle Hunter, and you got a chance to win a little Bud Light swag as well coming up in the 4 and 5 o'clock hour. We hope soon to hear from the guy who has really, really been a huge bright spot at Texans training camp. That's the rookie Arionte Ursa. We look forward to speak to him coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off Park Row and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm excited, baby. Welcome back. Football is starting today. Real football, not just – I mean, no, listen, I shouldn't say this. But no shade, man. I'm glad, like, we're getting to football where, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, Graham Mertz and not a lot of Davis Mills rolling through here, baby. And some of them other guys that are selling insurance today.
Well, being
like we got some ball out here, baby.
Hey, look, being that I was one of those guys, man, I can appreciate where you're at.
I'm just saying, man. I know it. I'm just saying, baby.
Hey, being that I wore those shoes, man, I know exactly what you mean.
I'm just saying, baby. Exactly. We're getting close to seeing some C.J. Stroud for quarters.
We're getting close to seeing some
Will Anderson for four quarters. And that starts tonight where the Eagles, the champs, they will host the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll get to see Dak, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, all that crew. By the way, Micah's getting epidural like my wife had when she had her kids. But he's getting an epidural in the back apparently to see if he can get going on Sunday as the Packers get going with him. But by the way, Saquon number one on NFL Top 100 last year as the number one player on NFL Top 100. Yeah, good for him.
I mean, I think it's a little aggressive for a running back.
But you think it's aggressive?
I mean, I like it.
He had a hell of a year.
The backwards hurdle did it.
Well, no question. I mean, you got to have highlights, and he had that. But I mean,
Josh too.
He pushed that team over the top and got the Super Bowl taken care of. I think clearly he's a game changer. He's not just a running back. That's a product of a system. He's clearly a game changer. So I like that. I think it's well deserved, man. After what he went through in New York, and I think it's well deserved. I like him, man.
Yeah, good for him. We'll definitely talk about that game, and I'm sure later on T Mill's best bets will have something included
one, don't
for that one. Yeah, he needs something. All right, Arionte Ursa. We look forward to the Texans left tackle joining us as he will get his first regular season game coming up on Sunday in
LA. By the
way,
has that been announced? Starting left tackle?
I mean, come on, man.
I doubt they're putting him on the radio with us if he ain't starting.
I'm about to say, I don't know about that.
I don't think they trust you that much.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they damn sure don't trust me that much. But no, man, he's the damn left tackle. I mean, everybody has said it. I know we can't report it, but everybody said. I think I may ask him that. I may ask him right straight up. Hey, man, are you the left tackle?
Yeah,
are you the starting left tackle?
I don't know if I trust Omar's depth chart. Hey man, are you? Let's know what's going on here.
Yeah, but no man, he came in and as you're right, it appears he is going to be the starting left tackle. He came in and I don't think this is a hey man, we just got to put him there because we ain't got no other option. He's come in and became the best option. This is the sixth tackle that was taken in the draft in the second round, and he came in and took that spot. That surprised you, especially when they went out and got Cam Robinson? Did that surprise you that he took over and he's starting week one on that, on the left side?
I think it surprises you anytime you hit on a draft pick in such a need position like that. I think that is a surprise because it's such the odds are so low, right? But it doesn't surprise me that he's a guy that is wired the right way. D'Amico Ryans, I mean, we don't talk enough about this. I mean, not that D'Amico doesn't get stroked enough. We do. Ooh. We love D'Amico, right? But at the end of the day, like D'Amico's ability and Nick's ability to a certain extent to identify these guys in these top rounds that can come in and they're plug-and-play starters. And not only that, they're wired the right way. And in this case with Arianti Urseri, he's wired the right way in a position room that they're trying to rebuild and remold, and they want somebody to take over with a whole different mentality and personality. I mean, he is just a perfect fit. And so tip the cap to the guy that they found in the draft, identified that they wanted, went out and got him, and he is proven to be every bit, if not more, of the guy that they thought he was. I mean, here's the thing with D'Amico and Nick. I don't think that they thought that they were drafting their starting left tackle this year. Yep. I think they saw a guy that was awfully talented, that was mature and developed and could play immediately. And then when he gets here, you find out, no, this is a guy that if we play our cards right, can be the leader of our offensive line room for the next 4+ years. And he's got the mentality. He's the level dog that you want. Obviously, he's a pro. And so they stumbled into something that's even better than they thought. And now it's one of those of, like, the question became, do you mess it up? Do you take the $12 million man and plug him back in because that was the original plan, and then you kind of stunt the growth, if you will, of your draft pick? Or do you say, hey, we're going to ride this rookie and let him take over this offensive line room, and we're willing to deal with whatever struggles a rookie has in the league, because the bigger picture, the longer-term play here is – this is what we want our offensive line room to look like. It seems like that's the direction they're going with Arianti Urseri.
Yeah.
And look, the proof that we've seen so far is it makes perfect sense.
No, it does. He is, and that's the way you like it, right? Like, if you look at the other side of the field, it feels like that Titus Howard is the right tackle because of lack of performance of the other options. Like, it to me, it feels like they wanted to have him as a right guard.
Oh, I think that's very clear. They wanted Blake Fisher.
Yeah, Blake
or Fisher. Arianti Urseri.
Or something to work out to where
sure.
They wanted it. And he is, and he's over there, I think, because of necessity. I think they are pleasantly surprised and excited that Arianti Urseri has taken the left tackle job, but just to kind of show the differences of how they arrived at their bookend tackles right now, and I think that's a big difference, which I think should give Texans fans more confidence in Urseri that this isn't he's just the best of the rest. It was him and Blake Fisher, and that's why they had to go there. No, it was him taking the gig over somebody they had planned to pay $12 million guaranteed money.
Yeah, look, it would be really easy to look at Blake Fisher struggling and Cam Robinson's injuries and say, yeah, well, you know, the rookie's out there, but I don't know. I just don't choose to look at it that way. I mean, I don't think there was anybody keeping Arianti Urseri off of the field his rookie year, whether it be at right tackle or left field. Left tackle, he's not playing left field. Everybody else in Houston has played left field,
yep.
but not Arianti Urseri.
Hell, he might be able to with this short porch.
Hey, beware that!
I bet he's got an arm.
Beware that metal wall out there, boy. That 300-pound sucker hits that thing.
He'll run through it.
But yeah, look, I mean, he was going to be on the field at right tackle or left tackle any way you slice it. And the reality of it is, because of injury, they found out, hey, man, he's going to play the premium position at left tackle spot. Now, what do we do at the right tackle? And that is push Titus Howard back out there. I'm as excited to watch Titus Howard at right tackle as I am Arianti Urseri at left tackle, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I told you I was not a huge fan of Titus moving to guard. I've said that. I believe I was at a Buffalo Wild Wings 2 seasons ago where I said they cannot put him over there anymore.
Been talking about it for a minute, ain't
we? And then we had to change course because it was so bad last year that he had to. And now it's good that he got back over there. Now we just got to hope that the inside is in a good spot.
Yeah, look, you're deep at tackle, man. Tackle should not be a problem. As I've said before, you've got several guys that can play it, and if Nick Caley can't protect your tackles with helping with chips and running backs and tight ends, then Nick Caley's out of his league as the offensive coordinator. That's not a problem. The key here is your interior offensive line, guys that you feel like their forte is run blocking, can they pass protect in critical situations, or can they run it well enough to where you stay out of having to protect for an extended period of time? So we'll see if those interior guys can hold up. In particular, as I said about a month ago, I think Ed Ingram is the key. If Ed Ingram can play a really good right guard, then this offensive line has a chance to be an average NFL, middle of the pack NFL offensive line, and I think that puts the Texans immediately into a Super Bowl sleeper.
Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Ariante Ursary is getting close. We'll talk to the young rookie coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off Park Row and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, as we are live, Thirsty Thursday.
Not in Katy, though.
Did I say Katy?
I think the big
no,
boy's
guy. No, this guy did, man.
Damn it, man. He gets on my nerves. No, I'm just playing.
Katy.
We are not in Katy. We are in Cyprus right off 290. I got my guy Clint Sterner in the building. We got a good time had being here, just like my guy here in that throwback Astros jersey. He just signed up, put his name in that raffle box. And you can do so, too. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, you got a chance to win some Bud Light swag. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, look at Shea, boy. Shea, get
it up there so they can see it, bro.
Shea could have been one of the guys on the game show right there, the way he's pointing to that right there. And then also autographed football, Daniil Hunter right there as well. All you got to do is put your name in our raffle box. You'll have a chance to win. I got a little nervous. Ariante Ursary joining us soon. I got a little nervous, Clint. I got some fun draws on. They're a little long, and the shorts I got on a little tight, so they're coming up at the same time.
Dang, yeah. What's Courtney got planned for tonight?
I got some colorful joints right there, Tyler. You love these draws.
My boy
right
got
here.
Some draws hanging out at the bottom of his shorts. It got pink and blue and green.
Hughley has came in the game.
What are you going home to do tonight, Chief?
My fun draws.
Damn, you prepared early. You better be careful. Don't soil them things before you get home.
Is that what happened? Wrong?
Well, I usually like to save these. You know, we've been putting them floors in.
Yeah.
And we just got that washer and dryer in. I'm a little low. hey, I looked in there in that drawer. I got the jock strap they gave me for my vasectomy.
Why is that in your drawer?
I just say, well, you don't get rid of that.
It felt like it ripped my nuts off.
Absolutely, you do.
The cup is in the bottom too.
That's one of the first things you get rid of.
I got that. And then it was these, and I said, damn, I gotta go with these.
Hey, I told you when we bought this house that we're in right before we got married, kind of deal. She lived in it. I lived in the other one, kind of deal. Being just out of respect, and then I started kind of moving my stuff in. She's. She come out of that master closet and she had an old jock in her hand. She said, why are you keeping this? I said, Mama, you've been here 2 months. That ain't mine. Who the hell you had over here? I ain't had a jock like I said. Now it was the old.
Stop. That was yours, Clint.
I swear to God it wasn't. It was the old strap that goes on it. Like I used to wear, like when the jock straps, it wasn't a girdle kind of thing. The old one strap around each butt cheek.
Yeah, that's what I got in there.
So it was around my age. It was around my
era. That's the vasectomy one.
But I was like, Mama, that ain't mine. I don't know who the hell. I know you like older men clearly, but what the hell are you been doing?
Get the hell out of here.
I think I got to the bottom of it. Now she may be pulling one over on me.
Was
but
her
I,
dad?
I, no, I think old oh. buddy that lived there before it was it. We bought it from a gentleman that's got about 10 years on me. So I'm going to assume he either played a little ball in his past or he got that old vasectomy and and left it there. At least that's what I'm telling myself. I'm telling myself my bride didn't have some kind of.
No, man, it ain't.
If she's got some kind of jockstrap fetish, she ain't brought it to my attention in a long time.
Look, hey, I am certain. To spend a little time with Lo, that she ain't cheating on you with somebody that's wearing a jockstrap hey, over there to the crib.
Hey, you know them old jockstraps too, man. The crazy thing was them old jockstraps back in the day, they turned yellow quick, didn't they? I mean, them things, you pull them out of the pack, man. Them
My
things,
man, not
them
in his
things,
head.
Hey, them things are crispy white, and you're like, yeah, look at this. I mean, you wear it to practice 2 days, and that song buckle
that's
yellow
is all roll, boy.
Nasty as hell.
Yeah, man.
Got them good old days, though, boy.
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, yeah, man, got my fun draws on, so we're going to have.
That's how we got there, Ron. Ron got his old neon draws on over here.
Several colors.
Courtney, you better, hey, buckle up, baby. It's Thursday night, Thursday, and Ron's coming home tipsy.
I think I broke these out. This is only the second time I broke these out.
I'm drunk, I guess.
I took these to Turks.
Oh man! See, I'm really dropping the ball here, man. Is that a?
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
I got to be better than my wife, I guess, man. I don't have a special pair of drawers.
You don't have a special pair of fun drawers?
No,
Tyler. Tyler does. Tyler and his wife used to have the shared pair of drawers.
Oh yeah, I mean they got themed underwear that match. I mean, hell,
those
that's
been retired
level.
For a while.
Well, that's bull. Y'all, you and Megan need to get back and get you some matching draws.
I found some underwear that I like, and I'm sick of them.
He couldn't let draws come out, could he? He said, I got some underwear.
He said it. He walked around. He started it, and then he said,
hell with
it.
I'm going to stick with underwear.
Pair of thieves, baby. Pair of thieves.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's what these are I got on right now.
Oh, yeah. You're winning.
I got some pair of thieves on right now.
I'm going to have to talk to my wife when I get home.
You ain't got a good special one like a you know, some red ones or some.
No,
or some,
no, I don't.
Like, here we go.
You can rattle off every color. I ain't got it. I don't. I mean, it's just they're all pretty common.
Man, I know everybody's got them some special draws that they're rolling in. By the way, somebody texted in, Courtney better pack lunch.
Yeah. Oh, that's
you better get going. No, hey, some other dudes. I saw this. I don't mean to laugh at you, Tyler, but I can. Like, there is nobody, Clint, that I believe in the world that I can read. I can hear their voice via message, like text or tweet, than Tyler Milner. When Tyler put out that tweet about Spencer Arrighetti having to go to the IL, like I could hear Tyler saying it, like I could hear it, and then because it does these things, like it is so crazy. We should not be floored or surprised by any injury that comes from the Astros, but they get me every time. Like if you missed it, Spencer Arrighetti, he hits the IL and. When you hear what it is, it's like, we'll see how long that is. That's the old left elbow or the right elbow inflammation. Have we seen Brandon Walter yet? Because he's the last person that went down with that old – he had the left elbow inflammation. But he is going to the IL, and his manager said he felt it when he was throwing his bullpen session yesterday. And so Joe Espada – went ahead and they took him in and placed him on the IL. But it's really disappointing because he really was, at least his last start, was turning a corner, right? He went six plus innings and had a quality start in that start. He had eight strikeouts and they walked a few, but he had eight strikeouts and was missing bats. And you're like, all right, there you go. Let's see if Spencer's ready to turn the corner. And now, you know, when you think and hear, you know, left or right elbow inflammation, hell, it's September, right? Like, that's going to take some time. The playoffs start in October. And so you wonder if this may just be a complete lost season for Spencer Arrighetti. And it's tough because not only was he coming along, the Astros desperately needed him to come along and pitchers to get going. And it's just a tough, yet again, an injury hits the Astros to a piece that they need.
Look, I mean, I just lean back into, man, it's not about the probability or, you know, one guy over the other. The Astros, counting Lance McCullers, which is out of the mix now, but You had four guys that are coming back in Spencer Arrighetti, Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, and Lance McCullers. We just need one to work out, man. We just need one to work out. And
what is going on?
Obviously, this past weekend was huge for all three of those guys, Spencer Arrighetti, Christian Javier, and Luis Garcia. So, this is unfortunate, but thankfully, as an Astros fan, it comes on the heel of two other guys having a really good weekend. So, hopefully we can keep one of those three healthy and off of the IL for the playoffs.
I didn't want to bring this up. Tyler, did you see this? Did you also see your boy Jake Myers, who had him a 2-for-3 game?
Are you talking about the 2-for-3, or is there something else I'm missing?
Yeah, he went 2-for-3, and he had a double. Then he had to get pulled from the
game
because he fouled a ball off his leg, and he went down.
I didn't see that.
I'll retweet it for you, Tyler, if you want to watch it and see it yourself. Man. I mean, he looks like he was in significant pain, and he came on out of the game.
Yeah, I saw him having a productive night with the bat. Yeah, I didn't see him get hurt.
He's going to get
Big J.
It is the damnedest thing.
Big Jake got to be like, hey, man. I mean, Jake is like, who would Jake be? Is like a Nico Collins?
No.
You know what I mean? I'm just talking about, hold on, Jake, I know Jake's having a good year. Well, hear me out, fellas.
All right, let's hear it out.
Like the guy that comes in and you really don't know how good he is, and the organization is dysfunctional, and you kind of have a hard time finding your way, and you struggle, and then all of a sudden, boy,
Nico,
you hit stride.
Nico has got him on fire, baby.
And Nico is one of the top in the league, and Jake Myers has finally hit stride and had a chance to be one of the top center fielders in the league with that bronze glove you keep giving him.
That's right.
And hitting 300 and was with a little bit of speed on the base pass. I mean, he had a chance to have one of those, hey, hello, I'm here, them kind of Nico Collins arrival type seasons, and now he done fouled a damn ball off his foot.
After going 2-for-3 with a double.
I just
want you all to help me since we can't say it.
I screwed it up.
713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Chaz McCormick was sitting in that dugout over there when that happened. What do you think the first thing and the thought went through his head when he saw Jake go down?
I could go for some pudding.
713-572-4610. If you're Chaz McCormick, if you've been through everything that Chaz has been through, what do you think the first thought was in his mind when he saw Jake go down?
Good for them. Good for them. Sorry. Sorry, SOBs.
Say goodbye to the Astros.
That's what Dana Brown deserves. That's what Joe Espada deserves.
I think he just went Marv Albert. Yes!
It's not ideal.
He's just got to be frustrated over there. I just picture him over there with a big-ass coat with his hood on and just staring in just complete disgust of where his situation is. All right, coming up, as we get you prepared for the Texans and the Rams coming up week 1, a big 3 o'clock hour. Hopefully we'll hear from the rookie Arianta Arisri, and we'll hear Clint's thoughts on something that he heard from C.J. Stroud yesterday, in particular when he was talking about the new system of his OC, Nick Caley. We'll discuss all of that coming up next right here live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 here in Cypress. Come on out for a little Thirsty Thursday here with The Drive.